And again, it'll be on our website, saveus.org. And can I suggest to you, day to day, we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, even today, talking about our teens. Remember Malachi chapter 4? This is the moment. We've got to get ready. And I want to urge you to become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Don't let your team become a terrorist.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, we were hoping to have this evening David Emery, who's a wonderful, wonderful source of information. He picked up the research of a woman named Mae Brussels, who, 20 years ago, was one of the leading people talking about this world conspiracy on radio. She was centered in the Monterey Bay. I had a chance to talk to her a few times before she passed away, and then Dave picked up her material and really has done an excellent job since then. We've had him in the past, but we were hoping to have him tonight, and it does look like he's going to be here. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be you and me, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you have something you'd like to talk about, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But anyway, we'll get started out. I've been writing my newsletter on the secret society that really shaped the world we live in today. And what most people really don't know, or they've forgotten if they ever did know, basically, there was a young man named Cecil Rhodes who attended Oxford University in 1870. And in 1870, he attended a lecture at Oxford University. It was given by a professor named John Ruskin. Now, John Ruskin was a professor of art, but he talked about a lot of things, and his inaugural lecture in 1870 changed the course of the world. And basically what he did, and a beautiful prose, and we actually reproduce it in our May newsletter, which hopefully will be out before long. He talked about the obligation of the youth of Great Britain and how really, of course, how fortunate they were to be part of the aristocracy, the upper crust of Great Britain. But if Great Britain certainly didn't assume its rightful position of leadership in the world and really moved to change the world, England would one day be destroyed. And so certainly these people coming from a Christian heritage, having a religion, certainly of nobility, they had a noble obligation to pursue an honorary course for their life and bring all of the countries of the world under British control. And that's basically what he said. Oh, you've got to take over control of the world and bring everything under British control and then teach the people in those countries British culture. And, of course, it was your obligation to do this. You could either do this or Britain will be destroyed. Well, it was really a magnificent talk, and you really want to read the exact wording that John Ruskin used. But Cecil Rhodes was so taken with what he heard that day that he actually wrote down the lecture in longhand and carried it with him the rest of his life, and then decided that he was going to spend his life pursuing that goal of bringing about a one world government. Now, of course, what most people don't understand is that John Ruskin was deeply involved in the occult. And, of course, the purpose of the occult beliefs dating back to the time of Nimrod has always been to bring about the one world government. That and the fact that there is a power out there that you can tap into. There is secret knowledge, and you can get a great wealth and prosperity by tapping into that. But the ultimate goal has always been a world government under a just ruler. Now, certainly Plato understood that. And that's why, of course, Plato wrote The Republic, and why, when you go to college, you're going to read about this wonderful republic that he advocated. But it was a republic that was to be ruled by a so-called just man. However, Plato, whether he understood it or not, was really talking about the government we're moving towards today, a government that will be ruled by the Antichrist. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we certainly don't have a regularly scheduled guest. So if you're out there in the listening audience, at 46, you can call us at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, it should be noted that the Cecil Rhodes was not the only student who was certainly totally taken by what John Ruskin said that day. And John, many of the people attended either Oxford University, some of them actually attended Cambridge University, and they decided that they were going to take up John Ruskin's challenge and bring about a world government under the control of the British Empire, that they were going to expand the British Empire. And, of course, at that time, of course, Britain had colonies all throughout the world, but they were going to expand it even further, and they were going to, of course, to bring about this one world government under the control of the British Empire. And then, of course, in those communities throughout the world, they were going to inculcate the people there with British culture because it was so far superior to any other culture. I mean, it was a wonderful dream, and certainly, but what most people do not understand is that Cecil Rhodes was a Mason. And he had sworn the secret oaths that go in with masonry. And whether he understood it or not, of course, he was under Luciferian influence. And, of course, the oaths that the Masons have taken down through the ages have always, of course, been pursuit of the light. And what is the light? Well, most people think that's the light of Jesus Christ. But people do not understand the dualism that exists today, and things have a dual meaning. And Christians look upon the light as the light of Jesus Christ. But the Luciferians look upon the light as the light of Lucifer, the light bearer. As Albert Pike said, strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness. And this is really what it was all about. Well, of course, at that time, while the Rothschilds in England had a great deal of financial backing, and they offered it to Cecil Rhodes, he went to Africa. He got backing from Lord Rothschild and from a man named Albert Beit, B-E-I-T, and he went to Africa and he purchased the diamond mines and the gold mines, and soon he had a fabulous fortune. And of course, I'm sure he paid his loans back to Lord Rothschild. But Lord Rothschild was intrigued with this idea of creating a secret society to control the world, and was intimately involved in the formation of that secret society. Later on, he dropped out and had his son, his son-in-law took over his position in the secret society. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We don't have our regularly scheduled guest, so we would invite you to call. It's going to be open lines at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we were simply talking about the background of the movement which is coming to fruition today. Now, it's really outlined in a little book that was published back in 1972 called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And at that time, Gary Allen put out 10 million paperback copies of None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Most of them have disappeared. I suspect that the people within the secret societies today bought them up and destroyed them. I can't prove that. But I can prove it's very, very difficult to get. You know, you can find the copies occasionally today. Amazon has about 14 new or used copies of the paperback edition of Gary Allen's book. And, of course, I think they're about $8, whereas, of course, you could buy them digitally for 10 cents. But it's a very important book. We carry it, and we suggest if you have not read it or read it recently, you get a copy of Gary Allen's book and read it, because it talks about Cecil Rhodes and his quest to bring about a secret society that would be used to take control of the world. And in 1877, Cecil Rhodes wrote something called The Confession of Faith. If you have access to a computer, you can go up on the internet and simply in your search engine type in Cecil Rhodes Confession of Faith and read it. And there he says, you know, the idea gleaming and dancing before one's eyes finally comes into focus. Why should we not form a secret society aimed at really taking over control of the world? And, of course, bringing America back into alignment with the United States, with the Great Britain, and we can consolidate the world together. This, in essence, is what he said. And you can read it. It's called Confession of Faith, and that was that same time Cecil Rhodes wrote his first will, and the first will talked about the formation of a secret society, and how the goal was to simply bring every nation in the world under the control of the British Empire, and then, of course, consolidate the control that John Ruskin had talked about. Well, you can really only put this into perspective when you understand that John Ruskin was deeply involved in the occult, and Cecil Rhodes was a Mason. He had sworn his oath. Certainly, in 1891, he got together four friends, and he created the secret society. Now, of course, there initially was a man named William Stead. Who was William Stead? Well, fortunately, you can go up on the internet and check out everything I'm saying. William Stead was a theosophist. He was a Luciferian. He was a follower of Alina Petrovna Blavatsky. And, of course, there was a Lord Milner, who was a Mason, and then there was Cecil Rhodes, and he was a Mason, and there was a man named Brett, and I haven't been able to find out too much about him other than the fact that for 25 years he was the personal advisor to the British monarchy, and by being in that position and writing almost on a daily basis a letter to the monarchy, the secret society, which he was one of the four original members of, had a tremendous impact on the royal house of Great Britain. But suddenly the secret society began to expand after it was formed in 1891. Now, how do we know it was formed? Well, very simply, when the Boer War came along, and they wanted the Boer War. I mean, the whole idea of the secret society was to create a situation where there'd be world peace. But how do you bring about world peace? Why, you have war, of course. Isn't that the logical thing? And so that's what they set out to do. They set out to create the Boer War. Initially, they were going to have a revolution in Johannesburg, which at that time was under the control of the Boer Republic. Now, these were the Dutch farmers who had settled in South Africa 100 years earlier, and they didn't want to be under British control, so they formed a separate republic. They got in their covered wagons, and they moved eastward, just as, you know, at the same time, why Americans were moving westward on their covered wagons, why certainly the Boers were moving eastward, and then formed a separate republic because they didn't want to be under English domination. But, of course, suddenly by 1895, why, they basically had a very productive society. But Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner, and there were only three or four other members of the secret society in South Africa at the time, decided they wanted a war. So they were going to create a revolution in Johannesburg, and they had an armed commando of about 500 men on horseback. Thought they were going off to fight a native uprising, but they were really being used, and they were moving back basically towards Johannesburg to try to seize that independent government. I mean, here there were British subjects declaring an independent war of their own. And, of course, fortunately, the known as the Jameson Raid failed. They were eventually surrounded by Afrikaners, and many of them had been killed, and they surrendered. But nothing was ever done. Cecil Rhodes was embarrassed by this. He stepped back, but his man, Milner, another member of the Secret Society, became the High Commissioner in South Africa, and they set out to create the Boer War. And they created a war. Nobody wanted a war, but they wanted a war because that was how they were going to bring about Basically the expansion of the British Empire, and they wanted to create a railway from the Cape to Cairo, in other words, from Cape Town up through the Boer Republic, then up through what today would be Rhodesia, and then, of course, Zambia, which they controlled at that time, and then all up into the Sudan and Egypt, which were under British control. And that was the first step along expanding the British Empire. Well, of course, you can read the whole story in Gary Allen's wonderful little book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And let me suggest it, if you can't get it through regular channels, why, you can get it from Radio Liberty. We sell it cheaper than Amazon. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you want to buy the book. But right now we have a caller on the line. We have Jerry calling from Los Angeles. And again, our number, if you'd like to talk, and it's open lines, 1-800-588-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Fine, Dr. Sun. Nice to talk to you. It's been a long time.
It has been. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, I just want to know if you have any knowledge of this prophecy that is supposed to be fulfilled in 2015. And it's there was this Jewish Jew for Christians, and he went back and he read, when Christ returns, will be the blood, the moon will turn to blood. And, from looking at this poster where the moon appeared to be red, he figured that was a partial eclipse of the moon, and it would appear red. And then he went back on, to major parts of history, like the birth of Israel, and all these very significant times when there were blood red moons, there were like big events concerning Israel.
Well, I know, but Jerry, there are a lot of prophecies out there, and people tell me all the time that God has spoken to me, and the world is going to end in 2012. The world is going to end in 2013. The Lord is coming. And so basically, I don't think that the Lord is bringing new prophets at this time. Everybody's got an idea, and we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. And we do know the ancient prophecies, and I'd far rather go by the prophecies that are in the scriptures than somebody who tells me, well, the Lord told me this or the Lord told me that. And I just really have no basis for believing it at all. And you may be right, but I certainly see no basis for it. So I really don't know anything about it, Jerry, and I wouldn't want to comment. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, but I think it would do yourself and your listeners a great service if you go to Google and type in 2015 Jesus Christ or something.
All right, fine. I will. Thanks very much, Jerry. I appreciate that.
Okay,
fine. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and it's open lines. We'd love to hear from you. But we started out pointing out how this Cecil Rhodes secret society created the Boer War. Nobody wanted the Boer War. The Boers didn't want a war. The British people didn't want the Boer War. The people living in South Africa didn't want a Boer War. Everybody was doing fine. But there's a little clique of elitists wanted a Boer War. And, Chris, what most people do not understand is that as they begin to expand the secret society, they began, of course, to recruit people from an organization known as the Society for Psychical Research, and these were all people who were tied into the study of the occult. And so basically what was energizing all of the people in this secret society, in Cecil Rhodes' secret society, was a belief in the occult. Now, there's an excellent section in Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, just a page on the origin of the Boer War, but he'll tell you just about what I've told you. The war, of course, started out, the Boers lost about 7,000 men, But Milner and Rhodes rounded up the women and children, the families of the men who were fighting, put them in concentration camps, and with terrible situation there as far as cleanliness. And 28,000 women and children died of typhoid fever. And then, of course, the British lost something like 100,000 men. They had 100,000 casualties. Now, eventually, of course, the British government intervened and stopped this senseless war that the secret society had created. But most people didn't know about the secret society. But when they got away with that, they figured, well, we'll create another war, and maybe we can bring in the League of Nations at that time. And that was the background behind World War One. Nobody wanted it any more than people wanted World War Two, or they want World War Three that's coming very soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Ron in Washington. Hi, how you doing, Ron?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
You have a question or comment?
Well, I just have just an observation about the World Cup. If you've watched it...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 630-9796, or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Oh, what a wonderful man Nelson Mandela was. Now, Nelson Mandela has a wonderful press in America, but if you talk to the people from South Africa, they will tell you he was a terrorist. He was a murderer. He was a brutal murderer. He was responsible for the torture and murder of well over 150 people as he coordinated the ANC, the African National Communist. And believe me, they were communists, and Nelson Mandela was a communist. The Afro-National Congress actually effort to overthrow the white regime. And basically, in all the years of fighting there, and the ANC, and of course they would torture to death any black who didn't want to go along with this. And certainly, when I lived in South Africa, it was an imperfect society. I don't believe in racial discrimination. But they were working out the problem there. They would have certainly had a multiracial society. And you have to understand that there are probably well over a million Indians who live there, and probably a similar number of Malaysians. And then, of course, you have a large contingent of colored, and then you have your eight different African tribes, all of whom hate one another. But the thing was that as a white man living there practicing medicine, I never felt any animosity, and I was there during the Soweto riots back about 1976, But Sydney, it was only the outside agitators, largely financed by the United States, that were intent upon overthrowing a peaceful government where people were working out their problems on their own and, of course, replacing it with chaos. And this is what they're in the process of doing. And certainly it may well be later this year or next year that whole country will break out into a revolution of some sort. Certainly they effectively destroyed Washington, D.C., and Henry Kissinger, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Trilateral Commission, destroyed Rhodesia, which was really one of the most wonderful countries in South Africa, and in the southern part of Africa. It was prosperous. There was no racial discrimination. Any black could vote if he had either owned property or had education. And the lot of the black man was excellent there. And it was a happy country. But you see, that isn't what the American State Department wanted. They, when the people held elections and they voted in a Bishop Masoreo, why the American State Department wouldn't accept that. They demanded that we put in Mugabe. Mugabe was a Marxist thug, trade in communist China. Henry Kissinger, of course, went on the television in Rhodesia. And talked about the sanctions. They had sanctions there. They couldn't get food. They couldn't get, although they produced their own food, but they couldn't get medicine. They couldn't get gasoline. Nobody in the world would trade with them because American sanctions on Rhodesia. Henry Kissinger promised if things ever got out of line, America would come to their aid. And Henry Kissinger lied, as he always did. The Rhodesians foolishly believed him because he said he spoke for the wonderful American people. And we put in Mugabe, and today over half the people have fled the country. There's rape and torture and murder there. Most of the land has been seized from the white people, but of course the blacks are incapable of growing any food on it. The people are starving. They got 85 to 90% unemployment in Zimbabwe today. The American State Department is keeping Mugabe in power. We'll never admit that. We just keep giving him money. We will not put sanctions on their country. We will not stop their sale of diamonds. We will not stop their sale of copper. We're keeping this totalitarian regime in power. I think they want to see exactly how you would go destroying a first world nation. And the American State Department, under the control of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, has accomplished just that. What a terrible tragedy. But you see, the American people have financed it, and men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose. And if we're not concerned about what our government has done in Zimbabwe, used to be Rhodesia, who will be concerned when similar things happen here? Oh, it could never happen here, you say. Well, I would say if God is just, it's going to happen here. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines. Our regular scheduled guest isn't here. We have no topic. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to. And right now we have Roman calling from Ohio. Hi, Roman. How are you doing?
Yeah, good evening, Doctor. It's a pleasure to be on your show and an honor.
Well, thank you so much. What would you like to talk about?
Well, getting back to this guy, Cecil Rhodes.
Okay, hang on there. We'll get to him in just a moment. Hang on. We'll be right back with you. This is Dr. Stan. Hi, Roman. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember reading a few years ago, I thought this guy Rhodes was also instrumental in founding that De Boer diamond mines.
He was. Right. Basically, what happened was that after he had decided he wanted to take over the world, he actually borrowed money from Lord Rothschild, who was also deeply involved in the occult and was a Mason and was very close to Rhodes and was part of his secret society. And with the money that Cecil Rhodes got from Lord Rothschild and a man named Albert Bate, Rhodes went down to Africa. He bought up the diamond mines. That became De Beers. He bought up the Consolidated Gold Fields. That became Anglo-American. And he became the largest marketer of diamonds and gold in the world. And that's where the great fortune came from that was used to finance the Rhodes Scholarships and the Secret Society.
Right. Hey, getting back to South Africa, you being a doctor, I don't know how much of this you study. I've studied a little bit. I'm an engineer, and I do study some of these kind of things. South Africa has also got a lot of minerals that are important, chromium, molybdenum. With the molybdenum,
a lot of those things come out of Rhodesia or Zimbabwe. I mean, I don't know how much South Africa has, but certainly Rhodesia has a lot of those very important minerals, and we've turned them over to the communists. That's the official policy of our State Department, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's among the things I remember reading, that they were always concerned that these mineral deposits would eventually go to the communists, and the molybdenum, as far as I know, is one of the things you use for hardening iron when you're making cannons and all of this heavy drill pipe and things of that nature.
Well, you see, we did turn this over intentionally to the communists, but you must understand that behind everything are these powerful spiritual forces, and our leaders are working very closely with the communists, but they can't let the American people know that. If they did, they would realize that most of what's going on is totally fraudulent.
Right. Hey, any chance did you happen to see this? Some of the DVDs that Doc Marquis has created? I use that word, you know.
Yeah, I have seen a couple of them, and they're interesting. I just, all I can say is that I don't know whether Doc Marquis is what he says he is or not. He may very well be. I don't know. But I have not invited him. I've interviewed him. I've not invited him back again.
All right. I kind of wonder, guys like him, just like you mentioned.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's open lines today because our regular scheduled guest isn't here. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We've got Roman on the line calling from Ohio. He asked me my opinion of Doc Marquis, and I say, well, I really have no opinion. I'm just not going to make a statement because I don't know. But he does have a lot of interesting information, but most of it you could get from reading any textbook. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was thinking about when I was listening, I do have his DVDs, and I put him in a category just like Alex Jones. If most of what he's saying is true, he's got a, a gun and a bullet in front of him any time he turns around the wrong corner.
Well, but see, Alex Jones doesn't claim to be an insider and have been a member of the Illuminati. Alex Jones is simply reporting what's going on, and I think Alex is doing a great job.
Oh,
and
I
he's getting
too,
a lot of great information out, and
right.
I think we should be praying for Alex Jones for his
exactly.
For his protection. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but when Alex was on my program, and I'd never heard this before, he told me that he had actually been called in by some very wealthy people and told he could become the next Rush Limbaugh and make umpteen million dollars every year. All he had to do was quit talking about the Bilderbergers and the Federal Reserve System and the central bankers, and he turned them down, saying, all this money's not going to mean anything if we lose our freedom. And he
right.
turned them down, and I tend to believe him. I really believe
right.
he's a very courageous guy.
Yeah, I did hear that story, and talking about people that they make these kind of offers to. Today, during the day, on Sean Hannity's show, now, when I heard the show, I guess it's a repeat. You know, he probably did it earlier in the day. But someone called his show and asked him about the Liberty ship, the United States Navy Liberty ship that was shot up. And Sean Hannity answered the question just the way Rush Limbaugh or any of these other top guns had answered. He said, first he said he didn't remember the story, then his memory was jogged. And he said, oh, that's a kind of a phony story. Do you want to believe that side of the story? That was a ship that was accidentally shot up during the Seven-Day War. And he had some other kind of spiel that I've never heard. And I'm sitting there listening to the radio, and I was thinking to myself, oh, that's not what Stanley Monteith or hate to say it, but Tex Mars or some of the others would have said about that particular story.
Well, but the thing is, I love Tex Mars, but I just disagree with him, you know. And basically, we have talked to people who were survivors of the attack, and for the people out there in the listening audience who don't know this story, it was 1967. It was the Six-Day War was going on, and there was a ship. It was the Liberty. It was a intelligence-gathering ship. It was about 12 miles off the course of the Sinai, and when, of course, it was gathering information, it was recording all the messages that were coming in from the Egyptians and from the Israelis. When, of course, it was suddenly attacked by the squadron of Israeli planes, and they came in and they strafed the ship and dropped bombs on it, and then the torpedo boats came in and they were going to sink the ship. This was the Israeli Air Force, these Israeli torpedo boats. They even came in with their special forces, and they were going to land them on the ship and kill any survivors. And I mean, it was really a terrible, brutal thing. Suddenly, radio contact was made with an American carrier, I think it was the Saratoga, don't hold me to that, but anyway, it was there in the Mediterranean, and they launched a squadron of American planes to protect the USS Liberty, reported it to Washington, D.C., and Secretary of State of Defense McNamara came on the phone and demanded ordered the planes pulled back. Of course, there's frantic radio messages coming from the Liberty. The commander of the aircraft carrier launched a second squadron. And, of course, President Johnson went on the radio to the commander of the American aircraft carrier and said, call those planes back. I mean, I want the Liberty at the bottom of the ocean. And, of course, the reason behind this was they wanted the Israelis to sink the ship so we could go to war with Egypt. They wanted an incident, and they were going to kill all the Americans. Well, we actually have interviewed the people on there. We have a four-tape set of interviews with the people who were on the Liberty. They were told they would be killed. An American admiral told them they would be killed if they ever told what happened. And many of these men were afraid to tell their wives. They were afraid to tell anybody. 20 years later, before the first one had the courage to tell what had happened, and even the commander of the ship, he was given the Congressional Medal of Honor to buy his silence. But before he died, he came forward, and we have the story. We have a video on the USS Liberty. We have a DVD on the USS Liberty made by the BBC, because, of course, no one here in America would be allowed to put a DVD on television to tell the truth. that this was done by the American government. They actually put pressure on the Israelis, and I think Peres was in charge at that time, and he got some special kickback from the Americans for ordering the Israelis to sink an American ship with the idea they would kill everybody on board. I mean, that is the real story behind it. And, right. Of course, the villains were certainly the Israeli leaders, not the people, the Israeli sailors on the ships or the Israeli pilots. In fact, the first squadron that went out from Israel, the leader of the squadron, the Israeli commander, refused to attack. He went back. He was sent to prison. And then they sent another squadron to carry it out. But the Israelis knew it was wrong. But like our soldiers and sailors, they were just doing what they were ordered to do. But the real culprits were Robert McNamara and President Johnson, who wanted to kill our soldiers. And if you have never heard that four-tape set or seen the video or the DVD, and we actually have other material on this, why it's an tragic story. And the fact most Americans have never heard it is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. But people can call our 800 number, 544-8927, and get the 4-CD set or 4-tape set. They can get the video on the Liberty. They can get the DVD on the Liberty. They're quite different. And what a tragedy. Our leaders wanted to kill those sailors.
What I'm trying to say is that's why Sean Hannity is on popular radio, and that's why you're on shortwave radio, and that's why Alex Jones is on shortwave radio.
Well, no, unfortunately, we have a few stations, and Alex has a lot more stations, but we're getting the word out. But believe me, Alex could, I'm sure, be fabulously wealthy if he'd compromise his principles.
Right. Oh, I agree.
In fact, there's a book out called Shadow Masters, written by Daniel Estulin, who's been tracking the Bilderbergers for a number of years. And in the beginning of that book, he talks about recently he was approached by two men who said they wanted to talk to him, and they gave him a check. It was a blank check. It was signed, but it was blank. And they said, now you fill in how much you want, and you just promise us you will not talk about the Bilderbergers anymore. And he said, well, how much is the check for? And they said, you fill it in. You fill it in, and he said, I won't do it. And I've heard this from other people before. They will bribe people, and if they don't take the bribe, many times they'll kill them. But this is the world we live in today, because we're up against people who are truly evil, who are energized by evil. And when you understand that, it all begins to make sense.
Well, I hope you and the others can keep getting the word out, and I do pray for you and the others, like Alex Jones.
Pray for Alex and pray for Joyce Riley.
And
they're on the front lines of the battle.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Doctor.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling, Roman.
Yeah.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we really do live in an evil world. These things happen. But if you want to hear the stories of the survivors, we were fortunate to be able to track down four of them, and they tell their stories of how they were threatened with either being sent to Leavenworth or being killed if they ever told the truth about what happened that terrible day in 1967. Well, a lot of them have died off, but we have certainly a tape set. And one reason we do what we do is because we want to record history. We want you to understand what really goes on behind the scenes. And we have a wonderful 4-tape set on Pearl Harbor. They left those boys there to die. They left the people in the Twin Towers. They intended for them to die. How do we know that? Well, because we know there was a stand-down order that day. I have an interview with a Sergeant Lauro Chavez, L-A-U-R-O, Chavez, who was at CENTCOM headquarters on September 11th, 2001. And he said there was a stand-down order that morning. There were actually exercises where they were simulating airliners being hijacked and being crashed into buildings. And so basically when this really happened, everybody was confused. They didn't know what was going on. The same thing is told in a story in Vanity Fair magazine, which of course we quoted in one of our newsletters. But Laura Chavez, who talked about the stand-down order there at CENTCOM headquarters, disappeared after he was on my program. He would never seen again. He may be out there, I don't know. But he told me he had been fired. He was getting harassed. But he came on very courageously. We have a two-hour interview with him. And then nobody's ever heard from him since then. You go up on the Internet, and you can read the articles about Laura Chavez viciously attacking him, saying that they'd checked with CENTCOM headquarters, and there was no record had been there. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you think that you could call CENTCOM headquarters and find out if Sergeant Laura Chavez was there on September 11th? And obviously, this was a hit job. It was put up there by disinformation specialists on the Internet to discredit Laura Chavez's story. Because think of the implications. What would the American people really do if they knew that the almost 3,000 Americans died that morning? They were killed by somebody, and I don't know who they were, but they certainly were not the Muslims who came here, not the 15 Muslims who came from Saudi Arabia, because many of them are alive and well over there in the Middle East. How can you, maybe you could explain this to me. How could it be that the FBI had pictures of all those people the very next day after the September 11th attack, and their background, their biographies, and yet we know those people all died that morning, but six of them are alive and well over in the Middle East? They don't try to deny it. They just sort of ignore it, figuring that, most people will believe what they are told, and an awful lot of good people do believe what they're told about what happened on September 11th, because to disagree with that is to have to admit that the murderers are out there, that we paid off Mr. Feinberg. Incidentally, he's the same guy who's going to make out the payments for BP, British Petroleum, to all the people. But Mr. Feinberg paid off the families of the people who died that day, paid them $7 or $8 billion just to keep them quiet so they wouldn't bring lawsuits, because the last thing they want is a lawsuit. We have the right to subpoena, and the truth might come out. And then the murderers would be exposed. And the last thing the people who were behind what happened on September 11th is want that. They needed an incident to get us into a war with Afghanistan. And now we've been there for over 8 years. We're in our ninth year fighting in Afghanistan. And what have we accomplished? Well, we've killed a lot of women and children. We've killed a lot of American boys. And what have we accomplished? Absolutely nothing. In fact, President Obama is talking about starting to pull out our troops out next year. I hope he does. We have no business being there. We never should have gone in there in the first place. Because, of course, if you ever read the 9/11 staff report, and it was up on the Internet, we copied it and we read the whole thing through. According to the staff of the 9/11 Commission, none of the members or leaders of Al-Qaeda wanted an attack on the United States. They did not want to attack the United States. The only person who supposedly wanted to was Barack Obama, no, Osama bin Laden. Remember, Osama had worked closely with the Central Intelligence Agency, all during the 1980s, and his family was very, very close to the Bush family. But we never talk about this sort of thing. In fact, a lot of them, the members of the bin Laden family, were here in the United States on the morning of September 11th, and they were protected by the FBI, and they were gotten out of the country under FBI protection. After all, we wouldn't want any retaliation against those wealthy people from Saudi Arabia, especially since 15 of the 19 hijackers came not from Afghanistan, but from Saudi Arabia. Why didn't we go to war with Saudi Arabia if we were going to go after the people who committed this atrocity? Well, ladies and gentlemen, they were financed in large part, and there's evidence of it, from the head of the Pakistani intelligence, the ISI, and they were working very, very closely with the Central Intelligence Agency. All of this is covered in this series of pamphlets we put out at the time, Call Foreknowledge 911. Now, I will have to admit, initially, I didn't want to believe that the government actually, or somebody within the invisible government, was behind the demolition of the Twin Towers in Building Number 7. It took me a couple of years before I could accept that. I could believe they knew the attack was coming. All the evidence was there. But that was part of the cover. Basically, it's like an onion. You have story after story after story, like you have in an onion. Layer after layer after layer of disinformation. And it's very hard to get down to the real truth. It's like, for instance, when we talk about the assassination of President Kennedy, it was really the communists. It was really Fidel Castro. It was really the oil men. It was really the military people, because they wanted, of course, to go to war in Vietnam. It was really the CIA. They've got all these cover stories out there, you know, and suddenly J. Edgar Hoover was involved because he didn't like the Kennedys. And the truth of the matter is it's all true. And if you've never heard our four tape set where we actually interview Lyndon Johnson's mistress and she tells you about the meeting that took place, well, of course, it really wasn't the communists or Fidel Castro, but certainly the oil men were involved, and the CIA was involved, and the FBI was involved, and certainly these people and the military, and there were even people from the mafia. They wanted to get rid of Adolf Hitler. The people from the mafia were furious with the Kennedy boys because they'd been promised that they'd actually given the election. They'd stolen the votes, given the election to the Kennedys, with the promise the Kennedys would not suddenly go after them. And then when Bobby Kennedy got to be Attorney General, he went after the mafia. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't do that. I mean, if you make an agreement with the mafia and then you go back on it, they're going to get you. And so when the CIA went to the mafia and asked them to do away with Jack Kennedy, why, of course, they went right along with it, and they planned the whole thing. They hired the assassins. It's all covered in a book written by the brother of Sam Giancano, Chuck Giancano. It's called Double Cross. Double Cross by Sam Giancano. You need to get the book. You need to read it. You need to understand that the president was assassinated by the CIA hit financed by the by the mafia, financed by the CIA. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me get that correct. The Kennedy assassination was carried out by the mafia, but of course at the instigation of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know, because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Problems. So if you're in a position to step forward and help, we'd certainly appreciate hearing from you. And our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. And you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You subscribe to our newsletter, or you can get the various products we have. And we have Miracle 2 soap, and we have healthcare products, and we have all sorts of things which we think are beneficial. If you'd like a list of them, whether it be the iOtterol or the prostate support or the menopause support or the immune support, or certainly so many of the things you need to build up your general health, vitamin D3, allobiotic, things of that sort, give us a call and we'll be glad to send you a product list. And then we have all sorts of tape sets and CD sets and videos and DVDs and books, the things that you need to read to understand what is really going on in the world today. We have a wonderful new DVD. It's called The God of Wonders. And if you want something that will really make you feel good, it is this DVD. It's the most beautifully done DVD about God's influence in nature. And we saw it a week or two ago on the weekend, and we were so impressed by it, we decided to carry it. And then, of course, we have the Pastor Billy Crone and his Final Countdown DVD series, Part 1, Part 2, explains to you about the prophecies that are coming to pass today. Now, but it's also, we carry his book, The Final Countdown, which has them all listed there. But, of course, when you get the DVD set, of course, you'll hear the sermon, and you'll see many of the clips and the slides and the things that will help you better to understand that we're witnessing the fulfillment of prophecy today. I really believe we are living in prophetic times. There has never been a time before in the history of mankind where we could have everybody numbered and everything numbered, and we would have the capacity to have a situation where no man would buy or sell, lest he wore the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. And what people do not understand is that there are really millions of people today who worship Lucifer and are waiting for the advent of the Antichrist. And if you haven't heard my interviews with Constance Cumby, who's been studying this for 30 years, a great source of information, we have a four-tape or four-CD set called The Aquarian Conspiracy. And you will certainly want to see the talk she gave here at the Radio Liberty Conference. If you haven't, it's on a DVD. It's called The Emergence. And you must understand that the things are going on today. Everything is fitting in place. In fact, one of the most significant things that has happened in 50 years geopolitically, and even perhaps more significant than the fall of the Soviet Union, the Communist Empire, is the sudden transfer of the allegiance of Turkey from their alliance with the West, the United States, and Israel, suddenly into an alliance with Iran in preparation for the coming war in the Middle East. I mean, this happened within the last 2 months. And why did it come about? Because the CIA financed the man who actually put people in power in Turkey to take Turkey away from the pro-Western alliance and the pro-Israel alliance into the camp of the radical Islamists. And why would the CIA do that? Because there's a dark component within the CIA, the same component that helped the Nazis escape to South America after the Second World War. You've never, of course, heard our talk on the Operation Paperclip. If you've never heard our four-tape set on Operation Paperclip, understand that the United States CIA and the OSS, I should say MI6, and the Vatican helped over 10,000 Nazis escape to South America after the Second World War and brought many of them here in America, where they were given high and key positions. These are some of the most vicious Nazis, but you're never going to hear about Operation Paperclip or Operation Keel Haul, or Operation Northwood, go up on the internet, check out Operation Keelhaul Paperclip, Northwood. And then, of course, our number 1-800-544-8.